Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, and fellow gamers, it is us. A bunch of guys with microphones who call ourselves the Blunt Force Gamers because we speak it like it is. So it is time for your politically incorrect podcast. Today's episode, we're talking about, Mortal Kombat, video games, Activision, Bethesda, and all these other fucktards screwing shit up. So, here I am, Game Goblin, and the moniker has actually showed up this week on time. Hello, moniker.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Blunt Force Faggots. Gamers.
I am not a bundle of sticks. I'm also sitting with...
Darth Blasphemous.
And...
Kazurkan, the Lord Dragon.
All right, and I've remembered this week also this button right here for the intro. Be right back.
Feeling tired at the gaming table? Want to hear foul-mouthed jackasses poke fun at gaming companies when they screw up? Want an honest, street-level opinion from a team of gamers that call it like it is? Then Blunt Force Gamers may be the podcast for you.
Listener discretion advised.
Okay, you fat Charlie Manson-looking motherfucker.
Wait, hold on.
You dared call me a bundle of sticks?
I do.
I am not on the cover of a Led Zeppelin album. How dare you, sir? How dare you? And I say good day, no everlasting gobstopper for you.
Oh. I'm going to sell your secrets to fucking other candy companies then. But
to Nestle, the slave traders?
Yeah, them.
N-E-S-T-L-E-S, because slavery is the best.
They promised me a free slave, now I can get all my yard work done.
Come with me, and you'll see a world of OSHA violations.
It's true. All right, so, moniker, you were talking about Mortal Kombat being the greatest fucking thing ever.
Yes, it totally is. No, but seriously. I guess I will be taking the position of devil's advocate. Because of all the controversy that's been happening with Mortal Kombat 11, good lord, I actually did pick it up. Even funnier, I picked up a copy for the Nintendo Switch. Yeah. Let me just say, there's a reason why, even after the game came out, the Switch has, like, its news article, you know, the little articles about what's new, sales, whatever. There wasn't any gameplay footage of the Switch Edition, and even after the game came out, and they finally did release the gameplay, it just showed two people looking down at their handhelds without any of the gameplay. So the only way you're going to see it, well, I mean, you can go on YouTube now, but for that brief period, the only way you saw gameplay is if you got the game. Well, let me tell you, that's some PS2 graphics right there.
Holy shit.
Oh, the crypt is terrible. It looks like none of the textures have rendered. It's all, you know, that kind of weird blur.
No wonder they weren't showing photographs of it if it looks PS2 level.
Yeah, it's...
Did they alter the blood and the gray sweat also?
No, they didn't do that. I mean, they did keep all the blood and gore, which is kind of interesting. I'm still keeping my fingers crossed that they'll pull a Soul Calibur 2 and we can see, like, freaking Link in Mortal Kombat get his little twink ass just pulled apart by Noob Saibot or Scorpion or
come on,
shit.
Dude. It's all about that Shaggy, man.
Oh, fucking Shaggy. Yeah, yeah.
I think there's actually a petition to get him in on one of the combat games.
There is.
$5 says there's already like 5 mods.
I think I saw something like someone went through the data and they're going to put like Terminator in it. He's going to be like one of the first cameo characters for Mortal Kombat 11.
Why?
Because the last one had, who did it have? Jason Voorhees, Leatherface, Alien and Predator, and Mortal Kombat 2011, since they've rebooted the story. It had Kratos and Freddy Krueger, but not even John England Freddy Krueger. It had, like, the 2011 remake.
Oh, so it had Rorschach Freddy Krueger.
Yeah, it had Rorschach Freddy Krueger.
Yeah. I'm having trouble formulating my thoughts here as to why I'm disagreeable of seeing mass-produced television movie monsters in my Mortal Kombat game. At the same time, I'm kind of excited about it. It's weird ambivalence.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
See, ambivalence.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool because on the one hand, it's like, oh, hey, I can play a modern video game with Alien versus Predator. But then again, that was for Mortal Kombat X, and I think Alien and Predator came out like 3 years ago now, so...
The only character I want to see in a Mortal Kombat game legit, if they keep doing this shit, is Ash. Complete with chainsaw-replaced hand.
Yeah,
and boomstick.
And a boomstick for his finisher.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be good.
I think he would fit in the Mortal Kombat universe really well, considering that they have undead and shit all around. Him versus Scorpion is kind of predestined.
Maybe Sonya Blade can cheat on Johnny with him.
Maybe.
Take my wood, baby.
Shop smart. Shop S-smart.
Yeah, he punches her. That was just pillow talk, baby.
His fatality can be called groovy.
Groovy.
Groovy. But no, anyway. So, yeah. If anyone doesn't know about the controversy... But I'm assuming most of our listeners probably do. So, you know, people got riled and uppity, we know who, about the costumes of all the female combatants. You know, Kitana, Jade, Scarlet.
How much more equality, divisive, whatever the fuck words, can Mortal Kombat get? Johnny Cage has been shirtless since the very first fucking game.
Well, not only that, but I...
And he's been ripped!
Yeah,
Kano is chiseled. That dude is fucking cut. Liu Kang, he was like, okay, his block in the very first game was stupid as shit, but he's always been like shirtless, like hunky dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's pretty much like Jackie Chan meets, you know, combination of Jackie Chan and Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I mean, that's like, him. They've always like did the super male characters in that where they were just like beefcakes.
Fucking Shao Kahn.
Shao Kahn.
Yeah, and they still are, which is the thing. I mean, you can play a Shao Kahn now. I mean, that's pretty cool, but again...
He kicks your ass in Mortal Kombat 2 wearing basically a YMCA gay man's jock strap and shoulder pads.
And a samurai helmet.
And a samurai helmet for no fucking reason.
Yeah, and it's like, in my opinion...
I just got kicked... My ass kicked in Outworld by a transgender in a Kabuto. You know?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat has been inclusive as fuck in many regards. I mean, yeah, they're borrowing a lot and... Like the very first game, you know, they were making up Asian speak when Raiden was doing his stuff, and Raiden was played by a Latino.
Yeah.
Yeah, my people are so good.
Yeah, straight up, Raiden was character modeled and voice acted by a Latino dude, so...
Yeah.
Come on.
Well, and the other thing is, like, if you... I guess on the whole, I feel like it's such a tired term, but strong woman thing, you know. It's
strunk.
Strunk whammon.
See, he's going to correct you now.
All right, strong on the whole strunk whammon thing. I mean, for Christ's sakes, how many other video games do you know where you have someone like Shao Kahn, just an 8 foot tall brick shithouse of muscle and fury, and he gets his ass not just kicked, but completely torn to shreds, you know, by someone who's like 3 feet shorter than him. And a lady, you know?
See, it's one of those...
Metroid!
Well, I mean...
Which was video gaming's first chick fight.
Well, yeah, but I mean, this one, you don't just beat him, you know? I mean, Metroid, you shoot him, and it's usually like space pirates and aliens. You're not going against other people.
No, you don't shoot him, you shoot her. You're shooting Mother Brain. Which is woman-on-woman violence once it's revealed that Samus Aran is a chick.
Yeah.
So it's a girl fight.
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, equality goes, I guess you could always say Mortal Kombat's been one of the forerunners, because...
They include a bit of everything. They always have, yeah. Right from the very beginning.
Yeah, so to me, it just seems so strange that, I mean, it doesn't, just given our day and age, but it seems so strange that people would find issue with it now, you know? And especially, like, the costumes being an issue.
See, it's empowering when a 3D woman wears it, but if a... 2D is designed that way by a dude, then it's sexist.
Well, the funny thing is, when Mortal Kombat X came out, you know, that one had Melina, and she's always just pretty much been eye candy. And
she's always been that weird, ironic eye candy, because if she takes the veil off, yeah. It's like, oh no. And as far as characters go, and it's one of the weird things, is people are not really paying much attention in this regard, and I had a conversation with somebody just a couple weeks ago about this, that Melina is like one of the unintentionally scripted most tragic characters in the entire series.
Yeah, she really is.
I mean, she's had no choice in where she lives. Her father is a manipulative bastard who taught her how to kill and encouraged her violent feelings. And then once he goes away, what is rightfully hers is taken away by the good guys constantly. And all she wants is what's hers. And she'd probably chill the fuck out if somebody gave her the time of day. And then back in, I think it was Mortal Kombat, Deadly Alliance, when what's-his-fuck was sleeping with her, he was only doing it because she had insider information and he was being a spy, and he wanted to just get away. And it was like the first time described in the lore that she felt love for someone.
Yeah.
So she's exploring whole new emotions and has that torn away and goes back to being a bad person again because, well, she's been slighted. I mean, she has been on both sides of the ringer all throughout the entire storyline, and now all they're worried about is what she's wearing.
Yeah, and again, I mean, I can... Again, I'm taking the position devil's advocate for all sides here. But, you know, with Mortal Kombat 2011, Mortal Kombat 9, okay. Yeah, I guess you could say the women were dressed a little tasteless, but come on, dude, it's a fighting game where you beat the shit out of people and kill them. I mean, and all the dudes were shirtless, too. But then, even in Mortal Kombat X, they were pretty well covered. I mean...
Dude, guys have been, like, fapping over girls in fighting games forever.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Chun-Li is, like, the original fighting game sex symbol.
Oh, she is original waifu.
Original waifu, Chun-Li.
Yeah.
Except her shitty movie.
Don't forget, Jackie Chan played her once.
Oh, God.
That was a good movie.
Hey, I was
stupid but funny.
That was the most awkward boner I've ever had. Because I know it's Jackie Chan, but it's Chun-Li at the same time. It's like two great things that shouldn't go together.
And yet it worked.
And yeah, it did. It worked really well.
I think it's mainly because of his attitude and character when he's acting. He gets way into it. It's awesome.
He loves being goofy, so it was great.
Yeah.
I mean, if people want to complain about a fighting game and chicks who are wearing skimpy clothing that is obvious eye candy only to get sales, they should be looking at Dead or Alive.
Yeah, for real.
I mean,
isn't that the video game series that started off the whole Gamergate controversy?
One of them.
Yeah, yeah.
And it legitimately has, like, the bikini edition fucking volleyball stuff in there. Just, you know, so you can sit there and be like, oh, digital butt.
Yeah, for real. And it's, like...
They don't even try to have a storyline. They don't try to develop characters at all. And at least Mortal Kombat has tried to develop character interactions between them. And, you know, I mean, yeah, some of the costumes are a bit tasteless at times, or they're just a bit far.
Yeah.
On the other hand, though, when you're fighting in a game where martial arts is the primary format of kicking someone's ass, you want maximum mobility.
Yeah, for real. And,
So, if you kick somebody's ass in a swimsuit, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, yeah. Shoot, sorry, totally lost my train of thought here.
Ah, you were flying the Polish Railways again. Or he was on the runway on a 737.
737 Max.
Okay. Did I make parts for that plane? I hope not.
More than likely.
Oh, crap.
But what's funny is, especially with the skimpy outfits... A lot of, you know, Mortal Kombat cosplays that you do see, especially the ones that the women go for...
Are the skimpiest possible.
Yeah. I mean, it's usually things like Melina or, you know, Mortal Kombat 9, Sonya Blade.
Yeah, they go for the Sonya Blade with the midriff missing kind of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, she's got her vest zipped down. You can see her, you know, rocking the cleavage and all that. And, you know, I thought, isn't that kind of part of feminism? You know, it's... I can wear whatever I want, even if, you know, I can be all covered up and no one will give me shit, and I can dress, you know, in revealing clothing and no one will give me shit, so long as I'm feeling happy with myself.
You know, and Darth Blasphemous is probably going to apologize for me again on what I'm about to say, but...
I'm not the Canadian.
Not everyone in cosplay costumes is beautiful.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't rock that outfit. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry. That tube top was just a little too big.
I was at a convention, and this was about the time I stopped going to conventions, because, well, shit was getting weird. And a gal showed up, and she was pushing the 250 mark, easy, if not more. And she had the legal 10% covered up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what needs to be covered up to be legal, but the rest of it was a transparent zip suit.
Okay.
And, yeah, it was not a sight anybody wanted to see, sober or drunk, and eventually con security showed up and said, hey, your costume ain't working.
Yeah, and the same thing goes for us guys. I mean, being a guy of rather rotund stature, you know, I got to be careful when I'm cosplaying or just wearing normal clothes. I don't want my gut hanging out. You know, as much as I love going shirtless, I know most of y'all and most of the rest of my friends IRL, yes, I have friends, would prefer me to be shirt clad all the time.
Yeah, I'm rocking a kind of a little bit of a keg here myself, and yeah, if there's cosplay that I'm doing, I'm not going to do some shirtless Kano showing off my abs kind of crap.
Yeah, for real. At that point, you're just, you know, you're kind of parroting the nerd community itself.
Yeah, there's pretty much, you know, if a costume does not go, if it goes above my elbows or above my knees, as far as it being uncovered, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's just, it's all social political bullshit that honestly the people who did probably raise the issue in the first place aren't even fans of Mortal Kombat and will probably not even get Mortal Kombat 11.
Probably. The only other problem that I have with Mortal Kombat, and I saw the controversy coming right out of the gate early on, the other one that worried me, and it has come true, is all the fucking microtrans bullshit.
Oh, yeah, that is... It's pretty criminal.
Yeah, like it's basically mobile combat now.
Yeah, yeah.
But see, it's even worse than that, because like, I showed you guys earlier, I'm playing one of those mobile games now on my phone that it's always badgering me to buy stuff. And it wants me to spend $100 to get all this stuff, and I'm like, I don't even pay $100 for a real physical or copy of a game download.
Yeah, the last time I paid $100 for a game, it was the Skyrim Collector's Edition.
Yeah, and you guys saw the price tag of... Someone did the math. You guys saw the price tag of if someone did actually buy all the Mortal Kombat microtransactions, what that would come out to?
No, I didn't see the price.
$6,300.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah.
What? Why pay that? What the fuck is that kind of money?
Yeah, why do that when I could just go out and buy a fucking car instead?
I could
use $6,300 to buy a car.
There's a lot more you could buy than just a shit beater car for $6,300.
Hell, I would love to have a souped up top shelf gaming system.
Yeah.
Yeah, so why would I spend that kind of money on...
Dude, you could build a 3D rig, or a, not 3D,
VR?
VR rig for that.
Yeah, one of the guys at work, he said that, you know, because I was bitching about the microtrans stuff, and he's like, well, you could just grind it out.
Yeah.
Who wants to fucking grind it out? When we first started playing fighting games, I know this is old man story time and bullshit. There we go. And what we wanted to do was play the game.
Yeah.
When we buy a game, we want to play it. We don't want to grind shit because grinding gets boring.
Yeah.
It's tedious. It becomes a job at that point. I already work one job and I get paid for that one. Why do I want to work another job where I have to pay or grind?
Yeah.
You know, if I want to be better at the game, I want to play the game. I want to enjoy the game. That was a big allure of the game. First Mortal Kombat or first Street Fighter or Street Fighter 2 Alpha is a bunch of us guys just sitting around the fucking console, kicking the shit out of each other and drinking sodas.
Yeah.
And
later in life, beer, yeah. And, well, yeah, and smashing buttons as fast as I can. How the fuck did I do that?
I mean, seriously, I remember the days when I would enjoy that I was getting, you know, blisters on my thumbs from the Gundam fighting game because there was so much you could do because the replayability was in the fact of it was so fucking hard. Nowadays, video games, they're pretty much roller coasters. You just sit down and watch. How many of them devolve into QuickTime events?
Yeah, one thing that they, kind of on that note, but one thing they added in Mortal Kombat X, and they brought back in Mortal Kombat 11, that just, it makes my blood boil. And you can pay microtransactions for it, of course.
Oh, the one-button fatalities?
Exactly.
Fuck that noise.
Yeah, you can pay money to get little coins where instead of inputting the commands at the end of a round like a goddamn man, you press, like, hold one of the trigger buttons and press square, and it'll do the fatality for you.
I hate that.
Okay, I still have my original Game Gear. Not the awesome blue one my uncle gave me, but my original black Game Gear with the original Mortal Kombat. And I still have the booklet and everything with all the list of combos I wrote in the back. And I still play that whenever I have fucking like 12 double A's.
Shit, we didn't even have magazines where I was at. I had, when I got my first Super Nintendo, And that was the beginning of my gaming awesomeness. Yeah, I was basically like a little mafia don in high school for a little while there, just to get enough money to get that fucker. But once I did, and all my friends and me, you know, we hang out at my place all weekend long playing the shit out of the game. We didn't even have notes. And when we learned fatalities, man, that was status. That was prestige.
Yeah.
When you, like, it didn't matter what character you were playing, except Liu Kang, because his fatality was the weak one. But if you pulled off a fatality, you know, it was a holy shit moment. And you got me, bro. And to have somebody pay money to cheese,
yeah,
to press one button, that's fucking lame.
Yeah. Wait, two buttons.
Okay, yeah, two buttons.
Two buttons, still fucking lame.
Especially since it's no real, like, challenge to get the second fatality anyway. So what happens is, you know, you start with the characters. Most of them are already unlocked. There's usually only, like, one or two characters you actually have to unlock in the recent games. And they'll have, like, two fatalities, like, and you start out with one, and the other one you have to unlock in the crypt. Okay, but that's not a challenge to figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
It's just, you just gotta grind so you get the coin, so you can unlock it. And then you don't even know if you're gonna get it. It's like, alright, did I get, you know, Kano's awesome new fatality? Oh, no, background art from development of the game.
Love how they put in the filler background art and shit you don't even care about.
Yeah, I mean, the character concept art is cool because you can see, oh, here's, you know, how they went from old to new. That's kind of cool, but it's like, ooh, pencil sketchings of the acid pits. Whoa. I wonder how many skeletons they've added this time.
Oh, they're rocking the serious metal now.
A lot of video game companies are going this route, and unfortunately, Mortal Kombat, and I'm remiss to say that, and I mentioned this earlier, that John Tobias and Ed Boon are becoming the people they were fighting against back in 1993.
I know, it's so sad. They're becoming the Cyber Lin Kuei, except we don't have Kuai Liang to stop them.
I know, right?
Yeah. They're putting their fingers into our wallets, grabbing our debit cards and saying, get over here!
Well, it's not just that. It's the fact that now the outrage machine is getting on their asses, and instead of standing up to them, they're buckling down.
Yeah. Yeah.
To a bunch of people who will never, have never, and will never pay for any of this. They will never buy it. Because all they want to do is the outrage, because it gives them feel goods.
It's the victim currency at play again. And if we're going to say there's victims here, it's the gamers.
Yeah.
Because the gamers are the ones who want to sit down and escape from life for just a few hours a day, maybe. Or, you know, a few hours a week, whatever time that they can spare. They want to just leave all the war and the bullshit and the politics and all the crap that we have to deal with behind just for a little while and go into a fantasy land where nothing is really real and just fucking play around.
Yeah, yeah.
And to have this shit get injected.
We all want sandboxes, but the type of sandbox we want depends on who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah, and what I think it's so funny, especially like because, you know, the other thing was they try to make social commentary. And I don't really think things like Polygon and Kotaku are real journalism. I don't think there's any prestige in working for any of those.
What about The Verge?
BuzzFeed Gamers.
Oh, God.
Yeah, God. But anyway.
Oh, the cancer is getting thick in this room.
So, Jax...
Jax gets woke.
Yeah, Jax gets woke. He makes Wakanda happen, pretty much. And everyone's hailing it as it is the best Mortal Kombat ladders ending ever. I thought, it's a cool ending, you know. It's a fine ending. I don't think it's any cooler than any of the other ones, personally. I mean, you know, even in relation to what's happening, it's just, it feels predictable. Like, you know.
I'm beginning to wonder about this whole Wakanda shit. Like, is it a subtle message that's, like, racist without anybody realizing it? That, you know, it's like a bunch of white dudes, you know, like, secretly in a room going, you have to go back.
Wait, they tried that once after the Civil War. They were like, yeah, we will totally go and carve out this portion of, you know, North Africa.
Yeah, look at Liberia now.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. To me, it feels patronizing, you know.
It is patronizing. I understand that games are supposed to be a fantasy, but when you inject real-life politics and, you know, fifis and shit into them, it becomes patronizing.
They also had a refugee thing in the game. Did you guys know about that?
They have what?
A refugee commentary.
Oh, Jesus.
And guess who the refugees are? fucking Tarkatans.
Really? Tarkatans?
The Tarkatans, yeah. So, there's a scene where Kotal Kahn, you know, the guy who plays as Shao Kahn, like the big ass
Kotal Kahn.
Well, it turns out him and Jade had been a thing the whole time, which is fine. I think it's kind of sweet. But, you know, they're trying to... Shao Kahn is brought back because it's all... The timelines get messed up.
Yeah.
Shao Kahn's up to his old tricks. He's re-allying himself with Baraka and the Tarkatans. The Tarkatans are pissed, especially at Kotal Kahn, because Kotal Kahn pretty much genocided the shit out of them. So they're sneaking into their camp. And this is after, you know, he makes a line about Outworld. It is the code of Outworld to protect all refugees. And then they go into...
What?
Yeah.
That's...
Well, then they go in, and they're trying
to... Brain hurt.
They're trying to be stealthy, right? And, you know, there are all these Tarkatans, which, you know, they're being stealthy, all the warriors, they don't want to trigger an alarm. Then there's, like, a female Tarkatan, but she's, like, scared of them, you know? And then that's when the fight happens, you know, and you fight, like, I think Baraka or whatever. And you take out the warriors... And Kotal Kahn says, "All right, they attacked us. We must have them executed." And Jade steps in. And she says, "No, these are only, you know, some of these are only children. You can't do anything against that. We must offer them a soft hand, not an iron, you know, like an iron fist, something cheesy like that." And so, to show that, you know, we must be tolerant of them, it leads into the fight with Kotal Kahn, where instead of, you know, don't be violent towards them. So I'm going to beat the shit out of you to show that we shouldn't be violent towards them.
Okay.
Brain hurt.
Equivalating the Tarkatan hordes.
Yeah.
To refugees is like one of the stupidest fucking things they could ever do in storyline play.
Yeah.
They've already established that they are a blood feudal society, that the strongest is the leader.
Yeah, and especially since...
They're Wakandans in Outworld, basically.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, with that whole narrative in the actual story mode, if you beat the Classic Towers with Baraka, and he becomes the Time Lord, he pretty much just makes it so the Tarkatans become the number one race, enslave all the other realms, and just cannibalize them all.
Yeah.
His last line is, "We have plenty of meat, and we're not giving it back," as he's holding up like a Raiden's head. So, exactly.
Yeah, this is the Tarkatan hordes. They are, like you said, cannibals. They go... Might makes right amongst their tribes.
Yeah.
The only reason they were kept in line is because Shao Kahn dealt with them with an iron hand and was stronger than them and earned their respect.
Yeah.
They're essentially Outworld's version of the Dothraki, and to let them loose amongst the general populace is disaster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Outworld will become France.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that because because you know the characters have interactions when you start a match. Sonya says to Baraka, "How do I gain your respect? Because they need all ally against Kronika." And Baraka's answer is, "Beat me mercilessly."
Yeah, they respect strength.
Yeah.
Might makes right amongst the Tarkatans. And
when Tarkatans.
Tarkatans. The Tartans. Whatever. The thing is, Kotal Kahn was right to deal with them with a harsh hand.
Yeah.
If they followed Jade's advice and you'd be like, "Oh, just give them bread and circuses and they'll be fine," that's not the way they work, man. They would just roll in even more of them and be like, "Give us more."
Yeah.
What does this make Outworld great again?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, you know, at least with like Shiva and the Shokan, I mean, they're just kind of neutral and want to be left the fuck alone, and that's fine. But the Tarkatans are actively like
genocidal cannibals.
Yeah, yeah, they're conquerors. They're a horde.
They're a horde.
They're like orcs, almost, you know? Warfare is their life. That's what they do.
Baraka was one of the strongest amongst them, which is why they had him be the representative between him and Shao Kahn.
He was the strongest. He was Shao Kahn's right hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And after Shao Kahn fell, it was fell to Baraka, who died last game.
He died in Mortal Kombat X. I think it was either Kotal or Devorah killed him, but that was part of the thing which I did like about Mortal Kombat X. It showed a lot more of the politics of Outworld.
Yeah.
And like Kotal Kahn kind of cleaning up Shao Kahn's mess. So.
Well, I don't know if it was quite a mess. I mean, it's Outworld.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outworld is kind of just fucked to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still like Kotal Kahn, though. I mean, I think he... I kind of like the whole nobility to
blood
him.
God.
Yeah.
Sun God.
Yeah. Plus, I just think it's cool that, you know, who's a really cool character who's based off of, like, the Aztecs, you know?
I just like the fact that, and well, going on the politics of Outworld, I do like the fact that they showed when Kotal-Kan was taking over and still dealing with some of the leftovers and remains, that they still showed some of the other outliers, such as the Edenians.
Yeah.
Even though nobody gives a fuck about Rain.
Fuck Rain.
Yeah, fuck Rain. It's like a comic story I read where all the ninjas changed costumes with each other for a Halloween party.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the next day they're high-fiving each other, and they're like, where's Scorpion? He was like, oh, he's still moping. And they're like, why? And he was like, he was dressed up as Rain and got ignored all night.
Oof. To go off on that, I still, years ago, you told me the idea of making a pink palette swap of Scorpion and naming him Flame.
Get over here.
Get over here. Stop. Behave. Young man, don't you know I know ninjutsu?
So we need to get Striker, Nightwolf, and just make the village people.
Wait, that's our next campaign. We're all going to play one of the village people.
Dude, I'm down.
Do they have a sailor? I think we might be able to substitute Jax, but...
In Mortal Kombat X, they did have Kano in, like, kind of a...
Yeah.
Kind of like a Cold War, like, Soviet sailor's outfit.
That could work. I do like the fact, though, that they were showing, like, the Edenian side of it, though.
Yeah.
Even though, like, Kotal-Kan would not un-annex Edenia.
Yeah.
So they were, like, part of the Resistance fighters, which is why they joined up with Melina and said, hey, if you become Empress, we want Edenia back. You know, so they were showing some of the politics of the other worlds. And it's still strange, you know, because there are a lot of different realms that God absorbed during Shao Kahn's reign. And this is the thing about Mortal Kombat that really gets me. That's why it's been so endearing over the years, is it was one of the first fighting games that had a storyline unlike Shadow Law, which you could follow, and it just kept growing with each subsequent game. They kept adding new factions and new political players, and like Mortal Kombat 11 was pretty much the crux of it, is you had Earthrealm, you had Outworld, you had the Nether, you had Edenia. All these different groups are, you know, they've all got their own interests.
Yeah, and I think, you know, meddling with the timelines is just a good scenario in any sort of whatever that you do.
But what are we worried about right now? What Molina's wearing? What Jade's wearing? What Scarlet wearing?
Yeah, for real. I mean, I don't know if you've seen Outworld, but most of that place is kind of a desert. I don't want to be wearing anything too revealing, and especially made of leather when it's like 100 degrees out.
Yeah, and now like they're like from some of them, I've seen them dressed up like in monks' outfits and like full hoods and shit. I'm just like,
yeah, Jade, yeah.
Why?
Yeah,
the characters don't need to be changed that much just to satisfy a few people who are screaming.
Yeah.
If anything, all these video game manufacturers, Activision, Bethesda, Blizzard, I thought the point of business was to cater to the people who are giving you money so you can make a profit.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, if NetherRealm Studios decided, hey, we want to make them more covered up because that's the idea we have for them, you know, maybe kind of give Jade a more Arabian Nights sort of aesthetic. I'm just pulling things
up here. Well, it's like what they did with Tanya when they made her more like Egypt style.
Yeah, you know, that's fine. If you want to make them more covered up, like, I mean, honestly, even though Scarlet's covered head to toe, it's still a cool-looking outfit. But the fact is, it wasn't done out of creativity, or we think, hey, that looks cool. It was done out of, shit, trying to save
face.
And
honestly, it goes against her core concept.
Yeah.
She's basically the Mortal Kombat equivalent of Onii-chan Bara, the video game. Anybody who's played Onii-chan Bara knows what I'm talking about. But Scarlet, she fights, and the more blood she absorbs, the stronger she gets, and how she absorbs blood is through the skin, so she's wearing an outfit
that shows skin so she can absorb power. Irma fucking Gerd. Yeah. Oh, wait! That's not happening!
Yeah, but if she's fighting in a bathrobe and not getting all messy and covered in blood, she's not absorbing other people's strengths and getting stronger herself. So it goes against her core concept.
Yeah.
If anybody should be running around in a fucking one-piece swimsuit, it's her.
Yeah.
Anybody. Yeah, for real. The other characters, yeah, I could see them changing outfits to something more
conservative
or less revealing, but with Scarlet, her very core concept is getting messy.
Yeah, like in Mortal Kombat X, Melina was way more covered up, especially, you know, in contrast to Mortal Kombat 9, but it still looked cool because that's what they wanted to do. One of her outfits, you know, it was her, I think it was called Kanum, where she was the con. So, you know, it was still kind of bikini-ish, but, you know, it definitely covered more up, but it was really regal looking, had a lot of gold. It was her flexing, you know.
Well,
saying,
it also shows that the characters, as the years gone by, are developing into their own characters instead of just carbon copy palette swaps.
Yeah, but her default outfit was definitely way more covered up, more armor, more leather.
No, if you want to get scandalous outfits, we have to go further back in time. We go back to Mortal Kombat Deception.
Oh God!
With her one-piece outfit that, you know, you sneeze and she's gonna pop out of it.
Yeah.
I think one of the outfits they had slated for her, you could not actually see unless you went, like, deep, deep into the internet and, like, dug around for it because it was just too risque for actual publication.
Well, Mortal Kombat 9, I don't think you could play it in the versus mode, but one of her outfits is just straight up just some bandages covering, like, her nips and her, you know,
oh, yeah, she area. Had the bandage outfit because that was...
her poos.
That was one of the, if I recall correctly, one of the Melinas from the Flesh Farms.
Yeah.
Because there's more than one Melina.
Yeah.
Which is, like, her big, like, win that nobody knows about is the Flesh Farms. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, the Flesh Pits. Is that Shang Tsung had, like, a fuck ton of clones, and every time one of them dies, one of the other clones just wakes up.
Yeah.
That is one bad bitch.
Yeah.
So, Blasphemous, you've been kind of quiet over there.
A little bit. Well, my Mortal Kombat playing days have been sparse and few in between, but I did get the special edition with the bookends. That was really nice.
I do love those things.
Well, just in your opinion, because we've gone on Mortal Kombat for almost 30 minutes now.
Well, then.
Yeah. So, what video games in your purview have fucked up recently?
Oh, Lord.
We've got a whole salad.
I got a list.
Yeah, Kazurkan has a list over here, so if you don't jump up soon.
You know, as much as I hate to say it, since I've given up on video games thanks to Assassin's Creed 3, my give a fucks have really just gone away for it. Like, you've seen, it takes me forever just to play through Skyrim.
Well, it would help if your computer worked.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Microsoft.
Fuck are you?
Why'd you name your company after your dick? So, yeah, I mean, my overall is I can get in on, like, the news coverage and stuff on certain games and the stuff behind it, but I know video game. I gave up on it because I couldn't see spending all that money for a half-finished video game, and now it's even worse because not only do you get a half-finished video game...
Looking at you, Fallout 4.
76!
Mortal Kombat 11.
But now you have to go through and buy all the stuff to finish out the game. You're not waiting on a patch to come out to get your game to fully render. No, you've got to go and microtransaction your ass off, paying hundreds if not thousands of dollars just to have a complete video game to play when you're just trying to escape the world and use what little money you might have for entertainment to do so.
This is why I'm going to indie titles, because the hamburger meme that was going around a few years back is becoming more and more real, especially with AAA publishers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
It's dude, insane.
We've gone total clown world.
Clown world confirmed.
Oh, yeah.
Gay frogs.
Wow.
Hey, I got Smoker's voice, so I can sound kind of like him for a moment.
You know, I'll admit, I think clown world is a forced meme, but it's one I appreciate.
It's like the NPC meme, it's... At first, I was like, what the fuck? And then I just realized the more I pay attention, the more real it is, especially with Vampire Bloodlines 2 coming out and the shit they're pulling behind the scenes. I'm not just talking about the woke aspect of it. I mean, the woke aspect is just... Dude,
it's what's out there.
The Bear Gangrel, who fights for diversity and inclusivity amongst vampire kind.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, legit.
I couldn't keep a straight face.
And
there.
Some people may roll their eyes at the fact that he's a... Gay Muslim. Yeah.
Gay Muslim vampire.
Gay Muslim vampire. Let that one sink in. I'm just waiting for the people in the Middle East to find out that White Wolf is publishing this stuff and then go after them.
I can hear the Rees from here.
Yeah.
Coming all the way from the Middle East.
from here, I can hear people in the Middle East picking up rocks now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting the rooftops ready.
It's...
But the behind the scenes, though, I mean, the game has been just only announced, and they're scheduling it for, I believe, Q1 of next year. So January, February, March, roughly. It's not even out yet. It's barely even in development, for the most part. And you can already pre-order it. Like, collector's edition with a bunch of bells and whistles for $75.
Yeah. Which $5 says you're not even going to get half of it the way they promised it. You know, you were supposed to get a canvas bag, but no, you get this shitty plastic bag that's a backpack that looks like it's from the game.
I almost pre-ordered Fallout 4, and I'm glad I didn't. I almost bought the season pass, and I'm glad I didn't, because a lot of these companies, whether it's Bethesda or Activision, NCSoft, if they're still around, a lot of them are taking up this whole, hey, buy now bullshit. They offer a bunch of exclusives, canvas bag, again.
Which, that stuff is stupid, by the way. I mean, yeah. When the pre-order bonus for Sekiro was a letter opener of his sword. You guys get lots of letters, right? All of our fan mail that we get.
Oh, yeah.
Don't you just need a nice little samurai katana
letter opener? So I can slit my wrist before I try opening any of it? Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
This thing used to be really niche. When I was in Seattle playing Lunar Silver Star Story Complete, really good game.
Oh, wow. I haven't heard that title before.
I know, right? It came with an Omaki box. There was two different ones you can get. One was the standard game. Whoopty shit. And the other one had an Omaki box filled with a bunch of neat little thank you gifts. Yeah. And it was barely more than the other game. I think I only paid $20 more for it. It came with a bunch of little bits and bobs, a necklace, a standout, a CD book, bunch of neat stuff. Yeah. And it was entertaining at the time, and it wasn't a pre-order. It was just, hey, if you buy the other box for $20 more, it comes with a bunch of neat little shit inside of it.
Yeah, the Witcher 3 did that. It came with... Not even pre-order. If you just got the game brand new, you got a copy of the soundtrack, two pretty cool stickers of, you know, like the little medallion he wears. You also got, I think it was like a little history book, just so you could get caught up on the lore, and like a map of the area that you'd explore. All of that, I mean, the soundtrack alone is pretty cool, but all that other little bonus stuff, yeah. And there's a note in there that just said, thank you for buying our game. We worked so hard on it, so we wanted to throw in some extra stuff for the gamers.
They're actually one of the few companies left that I have some respect for.
Yeah. CD Projekt Red, whatever you're doing it good.
And
vodka now. And Slavic magics?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's what we can do is vodka and Slavic magic.
Yeah. We can squat over the gaming industry.
We can take a squat over the gaming industry and wipe our ass with a Mass Effect Andromeda.
No, you know the one that really got me that I liked? Resident Evil 4. The soundtrack from that was worth it alone.
Oh,
I'm so glad my uncle got that. He didn't like it, so he gave me the soundtrack, and oh my god, best gift ever.
Yeah. I think soundtracks are great.
Yeah. Soundtracks are easy to compile, put together, and release. I don't see why they're charging money for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like, the thing about soundtracks is, it is very simply the shit that is already made. Just slap titles on and put on a disc. Boom. Gone.
Cost you like 5 cents.
Yeah.
Cost you like 5 cents. And, you know, with the way the internet is nowadays, you can just download the song accidentally. Yeah. And, you know, listen to it on the go on your MP3 player. Or you can, you know, check it out on YouTube or whatever.
Yeah, for real. And what's especially shitty about, you know, the pre-order shit. When Mortal Kombat X came out, the big thing was pre-order and you'll get to play as Goro. And everyone's like, fuck yeah, you can play as Goro. So, you know, then of course it had, the season pass, you know, to get all the, 8 bonus characters.
Yeah.
And so you pay $60 for the new game so you can get Goro. And then I think it's $40 for the season pass. I want to say in early 2017 or late 2016, then they released Mortal Kombat XL. And it went down to $20. So if you just waited a couple of years, you could get like $100 worth of content plus Goro for $20.
Well, this is one of the reasons why a lot of people... I'm sorry to cut you off here real quick. But one of the reasons a lot of people nowadays, as I'm going through forums and checking stuff and looking at comments, whether it's on Plebit or on Discord or any of the other channels I go to, a lot of them are doing the wait game. A game will come out, say, Q1 this year.
Yeah.
You know, it's already Q2 right now. They'll still wait till Q4 or Q1 next year before picking that game up Because A, it'll be cheaper. B, all the information will be out there. And C, they'll save a ton of money.
Yeah, Again, I pre-ordered Mortal Kombat 11, despite everything that went down, just because I love the series so much. But after... And I know, everyone's going to give me shit. Well, you should have just gotten one of the other versions. I've only got a Switch right now. So... Yeah, I don't think I'm going to be doing any pre-orders again anytime soon, you know, unless I get all my facts.
Well, a lot of pre-orders. The last time I did a pre-order, again, was for Skyrim back in 2011.
Yeah.
Everything else since then has not been a pre-order. The only time I've picked up a big, fuck you, exclusive, ultra, I'm not a standard knuckle-dragger box was for Saints Row 3. No, Saints Row 4, sorry. I got the big box on that one because they had three of them on the shelf. And I'm like, give me that big motherfucker over there.
Yeah.
And the toys that came with it were actually really good.
Yeah.
But after that, after 2013, around 2014, there's been this huge nosedive on the quality of the extra products that come with it or the promises of what comes with the game. Again, you could look at Fallout 4. You know, you buy the pre-order box. And you get the season pass, and they say, oh, it's coming with six DLCs. And if you compare it to New Vegas, you're like, oh, this is going to be some really awesome DLC to come with this game.
Yeah.
If you compare it to Fallout 3, you're thinking, oh, it's going to be some really killer DLC. If you compare it to Skyrim, you're going to think, oh, you're going to be, you know, getting some really badass shit.
Mm-hmm.
And only three of those DLCs that came with the game were actually worth the price.
Yeah.
And the other three were just like, why? And, of course, they came out with the last one, which was Nuka World, which is the big fuck you.
Yeah.
A lot of gamers are still pissed about that because it's like, hey, we want the option to be a dick in-game. This is my fantasy.
Yeah.
This is my post-apocalyptic world. If I want to play a drug-addled raider, let me play a drug-addled raider. If I want to be Captain Hero, let me be Captain Hero. And, you know, a lot of people wanted that choice. So they just said, oh, Nuka World, yeah, you get to be a bad guy and go full tilt. So, the quality has gone down.
Yeah, I've made it a policy of mine never to get excited about any sort of initial trailer for anything. Because, like, when they announced Borderlands 3 and they did the trailer, you know, and it just shows, like, all these still images and then it zooms out and it's a psycho mask. Cool. What did I learn about Borderlands 3?
Fuck all.
Yeah.
Fuck all.
Well, it's like the shit
they pulled
out
at E3 a few years back where they were showing a Call of Battlefield. And, you know, it looked fantastic. You know, the graphics were just insane. The gameplay looked insane. The battle map looked insane. Everything about it was like, fuck yeah, this looks like a game that first-person shooter players will love. And then when the game came out, they learned that that was not actual gameplay.
Yeah.
It was just all a pre-rendered movie to get you excited.
Yeah, it's pre-rendered, you know, it's just to showcase the graphics, and it's like the hook on an essay, you know. Yeah. Start out with something catchy, and then prepare yourself for 10 pages of just...
boring dribble.
Yeah, it's like Destiny, you know, that happened.
No, dude, my essay would be exciting, because my essay would be exciting. Yeah, I'd be like, why Melina needs to be scantily clad?
Yeah.
10 pages of that. Harlequin Press would pick that shit up, publish it, and then I would knock 50 Shades of Grey right out of the market. Just bam! Look at this.
With 11 pages of awesome.
11 pages of awesome. Pictures included for if my professor happens to be male.
You should title it Finisher.
Finisher. That actually reminds me of a wallpaper I have.
Oh, no.
Yes. Mortal Kombat brand condoms. When you need the Finisher! but I have that as wallpaper.
It's in there. I'm sure it'll turn up eventually.
I've seen it. So one thing I was going to bring up is with the whole, you know, bundles and pre-order this and special edition that, you guys remember Game of the Year editions?
Yeah.
How they quit doing those, what, 5 years ago?
Which is a pity because my introduction to Borderlands was Borderlands 2 Game of the Year edition. Fuck, that's a good deal, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's how I walked into Oblivion.
Yeah.
When I first got Oblivion, a friend of mine was hyping it up, telling me all about how cool Oblivion was. I picked up the Gaudi edition. It was like $35, and I was just,
blown away.
A few months of my life vanished to that game.
Oh, yeah.
Especially once I got to the Shivering Isles, and I was
yes. Shivering Isles were my favorite place ever.
That's one thing I do miss about DLC, too, is when they came out with 35 plus hours
of campaign material.
Of campaign material that actually added to the store core. Words hurt.
With
the core storyline. When they added to the core storyline with all this shit, you became Shale Gorath. That was fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And, you know, once I completed that, I was kind of didn't want to leave the Shivering Isles.
Right? Here I am a god. Why would I want to go back out to the next world?
I was like, well, I still got to go back and finish the core storyline, but is there anything here that I have left to do? You know, that was one of the things that really drew me in about that. And Far Harbor out of Fallout 4 was actually one of the better ones, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And it was one of those that, you know, once you leave on the boat and you've completed all the material, it was a worthwhile journey. It was an experience, and it was worth the money. And then you've got all this DLC storyline stuff. It's like, oh, just deliver this water, do a bunch of fetch quests, and we're going to charge you $15 for it.
Yeah, or like when Metal Gear Rising did that, it was like pay $15, I think it was $15 at the time, but to play as Jetstream Sam, the guy who barely has any character development, but oh no, he's really a cool villain, and here's his story in a nutshell. I'm a Spanish dude who has a cool sword that's been handed down through his family for generations for some reason. An electric katana, by the way.
Spanish guy, electric katana. Am I missing something here?
There can be only one.
Yeah, he's off doing his things, and then some people from Desperado say, hey, you want a job? Yes. See. $15, please. And then the other DLC which came out where you can play as the dog, the robo dog with a little chainsaw for a tail.
Woo!
Yeah.
You know, horse armor was a joke when it came out. It remains a joke to this day. But why do they keep trying to do horse armor?
Oh, God, yeah. It's insane.
It's just all these games, and especially with Bethesda, you know, fucking over the modding community in these last few years. I remember, and when the whole argument came up, I was actually doing the modding stuff at the time, and I lost interest. I had just stepped into modding. Just barely had my first mod halfway, you know, tailor-made and all this shit. And they're like, oh yeah, now we're going to make people pay for mods and use our store. And I'm like, the fuck? No, I'm making this because I want to, because I want to add to a game that I've been playing that I really enjoy that other modders have done. And now you're just stepping in and saying, hey, give us money?
Let's all go back to Gary's Mod.
Gary's Mod.
I miss that game.
I actually picked that up recently. Been watching movies. Some fucking anime theater where you can watch anime shows all day.
That's funny.
I believe it.
But there's, a lot of the games out there and a lot of the developers are losing sight. And this is why I am excited about indies.
Mm. Yeah. They're, like, the indie market has grown because players are wanting what the big companies aren't giving.
Fortnite would not have been a thing if it wasn't for the AAAs fucking up.
Yeah.
Fortnite is just another set fucking box where you shoot each other. It's another P-Bug.
Yeah.
It's all it is. Nice, funny graphics a bit, a little bit of a sense of humor. It
reminds me of Saints Row a little bit.
Yeah, it's got its own style. It's tongue-in-cheek. It's funny. But if it wasn't for the AAAs fucking up, you would not have seen Fortnite become what it is.
No, yeah. not by a long stretch.
You would not see Battlegrounds Player Unknown become what it is.
Yeah.
You guys remember back in the day? What was it?
Oh, Member Berries.
Member Berries time.
I remember.
Super Mario Sunshine, I remember.
Oh, God, even that was a big title for the time, man. Like, me and my buddies were all, what, like 12, 10 years old, something like that? And as soon as one of us got it, man, all we did the whole weekend, we played it. We played the shit out of it. Because we looked forward to it, and the game was complete. You could play the whole thing. Yeah, you could do it in a weekend if you were doing a speed run, but if you actually took the time, it would last you for months.
It would.
That's
Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion.
Chrono Trigger only had like 2 bugs that I've ever encountered through all the playthroughs I did. And I lost hundreds of hours to Chrono Trigger.
Oh, God.
You know, that game was fucking complete.
You guys remember arcades? Like going to a fucking arcade?
Last time I went into an arcade was to play Mortal Kombat 2 at the the mall down in Linwood.
Is that arcade even still there?
No, it isn't.
Yeah, but no,
oh,
dude.
I am.
Yeah, you remember that one?
Wow. Yeah, I haven't thought about that in years.
Mortal Kombat 2 had just come down, and I was like, fuck it, dude. I got $20 in quarters. I'm going to the arcade. That was all. Yeah, so I remember arcades.
So one of the last times I went to an arcade before I left my great, wonderful home state of New Mexico, best state in the union.
So he says.
There was an arcade, an actual arcade, and they had a bunch of the new stuff. They had, like, all the Chrono Trigger, you know, booth deals there.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite games, and yes, it's a foreign game, Initial D. And it was actually in the little racing pods. You had to have this little punch card deal that you'd scan. Yeah. And it would have pull up your game saved as it was. You know, I could take $20 and that'd be an afternoon.
Yeah.
Nowadays, if I want to do that, it'd be on my phone. And they would make me do all these microtransactions to fucking keep all my shit, get anything other than the starter car.
Pay $5 so you don't have to deal with fucking advertisements.
Yeah, there's some mobile games in their own right are a fucking cancer.
Yeah.
And the fact that the mobile game...
Model.
The model, yes. The model of mobile gaming is just drooling its way into console gaming and PC gaming is disgusting.
Yeah, I was looking just through the Switch store the other day just because I was bored. I saw that they released Doodle God on there for $6, and I just... The audacity.
Actually, okay. The fun part about this, all though, is there is a lot of people, and it's kind of funny, I was reading an article the other day that retro gaming is becoming more prevalent now.
Yeah.
A lot of people are playing games that are pre-2010.
Yeah.
Oh, dude. My uncle made a freaking small mint when he sold one of his, Dreamcast collections with a custom Dreamcast deal.
Damn, I want to
play...
All
four controllers, all the memory cards... The thing was custom painted to be, I think it was the Sonic.
Damn it, if it had Dragon Force, I would love to play that game again.
Every video game. He sold a complete Dreamcast collection. All the stuff. Made a small mint.
I believe it.
I want to play Dragon Force again.
I'll make a few calls.
Yeah. Dude. I wasted so much time playing that game.
Sonic Adventure.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. A lot of people though they're going to indies now. You know, so that's how you're getting all these indie titles that just explode overnight that nobody's heard of, or you have people going on Steam or Epic,
dun dun dun, 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 dun,
and they're buying these other games that were released pre-2010, and it's strange how that market, I would say strange if I wasn't clued in. How the market for retro games is exploding.
Yeah, it would be kind of funny. I know I borrow a lot from Yahtzee, but he's just so on point. But wouldn't it be kind of funny that if, like, Sega and Nintendo had just held on just for another 20 years, just, you know, bit the bullet and say, no, the Dreamcast and the Super Nintendo, they're going to survive, baby. 2019 rolls along, everyone starts heading backwards in terms of gaming. This is our moment.
Yeah.
Ironically,
this magic moment.
About 2015, I was down at the local department store walking through, and they had the re-release for the Super NES sold out.
Yeah.
All of them were gone. All the games gone. But all the newer machines were still there with full library still stocked. And I walk in, I'm like, holy shit, the SNES is selling again. And I'm like, you know what? If they've upgraded the ports to plug it into my modern TV, shit, yeah, I'd pick one up. So I checked in constantly for like 2 months, every weekend. Always sold out.
Yeah.
Like they went as fast as they could get them. And I think I know why. It's because people, they don't want to pick up their gaming device like their cell phone or get on their PC or getting on, you know, to the latest, greatest game on their PlayStation or Xbone. And just to see, buy now. Or unlock this, buy now. Or if you buy something, it's substandard quality that's just an obvious cash grab.
Yeah, a time where when you bought the video game, that was it. You had bought the video game.
Yeah.
Or you didn't. You just plugged it in, 10 seconds later, you'd be playing. Now it's, you know, have a 3-hour update, see all these developers. Hey, are you subscribed to our consoles? You know, unless you're running Steam.
Yeah, that's what killed me on, it was Dragon Age. The last one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I went out, I bought Dragon Age, I plugged it in, had to go through that exact same scenario. Day one update. And then I had to sign into an account And I'm like, fuck you. I've already got an account with PlayStation. Why do I need an account with a publisher, too?
Yeah, that's what happened in MKX. It's like,
I want to go home, plug in my game, and fucking play.
Yeah.
That's right? 90% of the gamers, I feel, are the same way.
It starts to become just business. Like, you're part of the corporate world, and it makes me feel dirty.
Yeah. All right. So, point, you know.
Go ahead.
Something worth interesting. Demos.
Oh, God.
How many games these days have demos? Even less that have demos where you can continue where you left off.
Fuck. I don't recall the last time I played a demo.
You remember when we used to get them on a disc?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, dude, I used to come in PlayStation Magazine. I used to get those all the time.
Dude, like, oh, it was great. You would have this disc and you'd be like, oh, I've got, like, an hour's worth of this game that's just pretty much the tutorial. And it was fucking great.
Yeah.
I miss those fucking days, man.
Dude, I found an indie that had a demo that you could pick up from. I picked it up for $20. And, like, the opening trailer for it says, Skyrim, this much cubic kilometers, or square kilometers. GTA 5, 150k kilometers. Superland, which is the title. 9 meters square. Because it takes place in a kid's sandbox. And you're playing as a clay doll.
That is awesome.
And it is an exploring puzzle shooter. And it is fucking glorious.
No, you know what my favorite was? The demo for freaking Army Men, dude. The game.
Good times.
Yeah, the last time I played a game that was close to being considered a demo was by a indie publisher called Pythia. And it's called Planet Explorers. It's actually one of the few times I wrote a review on my account on Steam, you know, about a game.
Wow.
Yeah.
It actually say something.
The game was fucking awesome. And I wish they would finish it, but I think it's been abandoned by the publishers, unfortunately, at this point. They haven't had an update in over a year.
Oh, no.
But the game itself, what they have established, is still worth the play. It's still worth the $10 to jump into that game and play around with it for, you know, a few afternoons.
No.
There's another one that I played on Steam, and it's also an indie one done here locally by a two-man shop. And you don't see any characters except on screen in the lower corner. Graphically, it looks a lot like the old Fallout games.
Oh, so it's like the first-person party, sort of?
You're basically in a spaceship the whole time, a lot like EVE Online. And whenever anybody talks to you, there's a little pop-up on your HUD of their face, and it's all CG rendered. But what gets you is the game has two big selling points. A, broadsiding. You're in a spaceship broadsiding people. Which
I don't know about you, but that sounds kind of appealing.
It is hella appealing once you get the handle of it. Because you're sideswiping other ships and just obliterating the shit out of them, because most of your guns are along the sides. And you've got to be, like, careful as fuck if they broadside you back. So it's a different take on space combat. It's more like traditional naval combat. But what really gets you is the soundtrack.
Huh.
So it's like kind of like playing EVE Online with a Cowboy Bebop soundtrack.
I like it.
It is space western, straight up.
That's cool. Dude, like, Firefly.
Yeah, Firefly. You punch the fucking gas on your ship. And you're just cruising along at sublight speed, and suddenly, you know, the guitar twangs up, and you hear, like, spurs jangling, and you're like, fuck yeah! And it can be dangerous at times. If you get too caught up in the moment, you run right into a battle headlong, and you realize that the music got you once again.
Oh, shit, that's a bad ship there. Fuck, 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 fuck!
Hey, real quick side note, what's everyone's favorite video game soundtrack? Don't take more than like 10 seconds to think about it.
Resident Evil 4, man. It was just so perfect timing for me.
All right.
I cannot answer this without going over a broad sweep of games, unfortunately.
Okay.
I'd have to say almost anything by Nobuo Uematsu.
Yep. Okay. Yeah.
Because you have Idea's Parade theme in Final Fantasy VIII,
mm-hmm.
which just... The fact that that game was played at the Olympics,
yeah,
holy fuck, that's stellar as shit. On the same token, Q's March out of Final Fantasy IX, when I first played the FF9, I sat there for literally an hour in my room smoking cigarettes, eating a pizza, and just sitting in the middle of the marsh listening to the music. I legit did this. I'm like, the first time I ran it, I was like, holy fuck, this is great.
Nice.
You know? Yeah. So FF9 got me there, and the Hymn of the Faith out of FF10, I've caught myself humming it still to this day.
Yeah.
You know, I'll be at work, you know, just fucking around, and the next thing I know, I'm like, oh, I might summon Bahamut. Oops. So out of those three games, those would be my first three song choice picks.
Okay.
And pretty much any game that Nobuo Uematsu has put his hands on becomes one of my favorite soundtracks automatically.
Nice.
I cannot really sum it down to one game specifically.
And on that, I just have to ask, because you did say Nobuo Uematsu. You like One Winged Angel, right?
And of course, out of Final Fantasy VII, the Death Waltz itself. Oh my god, dude. Just, the first time I heard that, you know, like, it blew my fucking mind that, you know, the sound quality was fucking phenomenal. And it was kind of a waltz.
Yeah.
You know, and you get into it, it's very orchestral, and it's very different. And before playing FF7, you know, my experience was FF6 or FF3, depending on if you're in Japan or America, or FF2, Chrono Trigger, or Secret of Mana.
Yeah.
And the soundtracks out of those were very 8-bit.
Yeah.
You know, the BGMs were very 8-bit, and it just really didn't come across as anything that you would expect to hear on, like, a movie or a stereo. One Winged Angel changed that.
Yeah.
So if I'm going to say top pick, it's One Winged Angel for setting a new standard in sound quality.
Gotcha.
But that is a really good one.
Mm-hmm. You know what? I'm going to go Ori and the Blind Forest.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any game that touts an ambient soundtrack that is that good, that is that capable, that is that feel intensive without the need of lyrics, you're doing it right.
Yeah.
True.
Totally agree. Totally agree.
I find, you know, it comes across my Pandora periodically. I'm like, hey, this is really good. What is this? Ori and the Blind Forest.
Fuck yes! The other ones that I have listened to extensively that I... found on my hard drive accidentally would be the soundtracks to Legacy of Kain.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Especially Soul Reaver.
Uh-huh.
Soul Reaver had a really good soundtrack, and I use that sometimes while writing up stuff on the DM side when I'm getting prepping a D&D game. Some of the soundtracks out of these games are, you know, the dark and brooding undead kind of shit that helps get me in the mood.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know what? Now that I'm thinking about it, StarCraft. The original StarCraft, the soundtrack was so fucking choice. Because, like, you get the so sweeping, like, that kind of country metal spacey feel for the Terrans, and then that kind of oozing, organic, and slightly creepy feel for any of the Zerg songs, and then kind of that mystical space elvishness of the Protoss. And it is... fucking amazing.
Well, if we're going to go back in time on games that had great soundtracks, I'm going to go back to Chrono Trigger then.
Yeah, Chrono Trigger. That's
the first time I entered the Kingdom of Zeal.
Yeah.
You know, that soundtrack was just really awesome. And years later, a band called Mono came out. And the lead singer for that, she sings in high E soprano.
Really?
Which is fucking rare as fuck.
Huh.
So they're a pop band. Lead singer singing in high E soprano. And the music, the only reason I love that song wasn't just the fact that her voice was so fucking beautiful, but the fact that some of the sounds they used with their synthesizer was reminiscent of Chrono Trigger. So whenever the song came up on the local station, I was also taken back to my time in Chrono Trigger exploring the Kingdom of Zeal.
Nice.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
You know, just... I'll wrap it up real quick.
Yeah, wrap it up, because we passed the hour mark, so...
Okay, just for my pick, you already mentioned Nobuo Uematsu, so I'm not going to... So I'm going to say something different. I'd say overall, probably my top two favorites would have to be... or my top three. Koji Kondo, who does a lot of the music for Legend of Zelda, is really good. I also love the soundtracks to Dark Souls, just because the mood... Those are really good at capturing just the moods. I'm stuttering over my words. I apologize. Yeah. Dark Souls soundtrack. Some really good choral work. Some really good chorus stuff in there. Choir. And the fact that a lot of the orchestra that they use I think they went back to, but for the first game, it was all an actual choir and symphony, not just completely digital, which was really cool.
Do you realize what we just did? We're ending on a high note.
We
started trashing the fuck out of Mortal Kombat. We're ending on a high note with things we like.
All right, let's keep this going.
I guess.
And then Metal Gear Solid, because it's Metal Gear Solid. But I'm going to suggest this to our listeners. In terms of an individual song, my favorite one would have to be the fight theme from Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess when you fight Zant. And I'll just explain real quick. The whole time you see him throughout the game, he's cool, calm, collected, really sinister. But when you finally start to taking the fight to him and he realizes he has no way out, the facade, it drops and you realize he's just stark raving mad. And so as you fight him, he takes you to all these places where you fought before, but each time you start bringing it to him again, the music starts to get unhinged with him to the point where it's just a jumble of all the instruments and he's literally just flailing his arms and screaming because mentally, he's gone. He realizes there's no way out, so look it up if you get the chance. Usurper King Zant, the boss fight music.
All right. Yeah. For boss fight music, for me, it was FF10.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I got into that, and the first time, it got me, same like One Winged Angel. I just dove in head first a little too hard, and I started getting my ass kicked, and I'm like, I'm rocking out a little too hard right now. I just, too much aggression. I need to heal.
Yeah.
Whoops.
Boss fight music that got me. Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga.
Yeah.
Mm. Good call.
There's some good stuff in those games. Some
really good stuff in those games.
He's going to go back. This
may not be boss fight music, but another soundtrack to a game that really got me was a soundtrack for Initial D. Like, when that came out, I bought it. I wish I still had it. I can't find it anymore. But I would just pop that in my CD player. Hell, I had it on cassette at a time. And I just pop that in my car, listen to that while I'm driving, you know, long road trips, what have you. Perfect music for when you're like, I want to go fast.
I think we also need to give special mention to the Skyrim intro song.
True. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think
that gets you in the mood to be a big Nord.
Yeah, I think someone would come after us, all this talk about game soundtracks, and we don't bring up Skyrim.
Yeah, or, you know, like, again, if you want to look up stuff, look up the rendition done by Maluka.
Yeah.
God, that girl's voice.
Yeah.
So she does some of the songs out of that. There's also another one, like Poison Kitty or something, another great singing gal. She does the Hymn to the Faith out of Final Fantasy. Some of these gals, I mean, they're just, why aren't they hired yet?
No.
But yeah, Skyrim, it would be criminal not to mention the opening soundtrack of that.
Yeah,
for real. Especially if you got headphones on with kick and bass.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
That,
you're in for a good time.
Yes, a very good time.
Well, now that we've ended on a high note, let's do a final wrap-up. Any final thoughts?
Final thoughts? Play Mortal Kombat. Enjoy Mortal Kombat. Take it with a grain of salt. And anything that you don't like in the game was probably put there by a bunch of screaming harpies with multicolored hair and problematic glasses. And if you get a chance to throw money at another game that you support, remember, vote with your wallet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the ultimate way to vote, is just put your money where your vote is.
If a company decides to, my final thought, if a company says, we're going to add in all this inclusivity and diversity and you don't like it, then don't pay for it. And if enough people just like you do it, and it seems that there is a large number of people who are the silent majority, basically, if they do it, that company is going to change their fucking habits real quick. Because, yeah. So, next.
Go, moniker, go.
All right. I think closing thoughts. I'm going to challenge our listeners, and I'm going to take the challenge myself. Even if it's a game you're really stoked about, don't pre-order it. Just wait till it comes out.
Challenge fucking accepted.
All right.
Well, I failed that one.
What about you, Kaz? Final thoughts?
I would say you should only... I'm going to offer a counter-argument to this. You should only pre-order a game if you like the developer, you like what they've done in the past, and are following with a series.
Well, I would, but Deep Silver no longer exists.
And there's many tragedies to that nature.
Or was it Volition? One of the two.
I think it's Volition.
Yeah, Volition no longer exists, so neener neener. Yeah.
And
Troika no longer exists, and I love the game that they put out.
And so there are neater, good neater. Stuff.
And it's Interplay just... is no longer around. So
all right. We're trying to end on a high note.
Well, you're saying to pre-order from companies that I like, and unfortunately everyone I like seems to close.
But moving on, you know, don't be afraid of the indie market, because they're probably going to have the games that are more completed. And some of those games, you know, like the early access, they're still really complete games, or there are some that are really complete games, but they have more that they're adding before they want it to be called an official release. Yeah. And that, the concept is not bad, but I think that rushing companies to collect that money and be that upfront about the fact that it's not finished, I don't want to pay to be in a beta test. If I'm going to do that, I'm going to damn well enjoy it. There's my thoughts on it. And good soundtracks. Good soundtracks.
Mm. So, for my final closing thought, take some member berries. Go back to the old systems. Find a local gaming store that does retro video games. Look for them online. Emulate if you have to. But go back to a time when gaming actually mattered, when you could get the whole thing for a reasonable cost. And just remember the good times of gaming and hope that by doing this you will get the big companies to come back when you're not spending money on all the bullshit they're putting out, and they'll go back to the old way of complete games, solidly made, and actual innovation. When was the last time you remembered a game innovating? Mm-hmm. I don't.
No, I remember games constantly now in the last decade streamlining, which means the opposite of innovation.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely vote with your wallet and take some member berries. Find the stuff you like. I know a place that still sells the Jaguar. So give it a try, folks. Blasphemous signing off.
Ooh, member berries. I remember playing Alien vs. Predator on a home VR system. Yeah. And that's me. I'm going to go eat some member berries myself. Game Goblin, signing out.
Moniker out.
Farewell from the Lord Dragon.
Get out of here! Yeah.